Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Score. My name is Callie Montague, your host, and today we are talking all things Old West fraternities. So if you weren't paying attention a few weeks back when the Old West event happened in Heber City, you were sure missing out because it was outstanding horses, $1.37 million paid out to some of the best in the industry, and it was just overall great watching, great people, great horse sale. The horse sale ended up being crazy big. And that's what this episode is about. So this feels silly to introduce her as a guest host because she was at the mic for so many years. But my boss, Chelsea Schaefer, and none other than Mr. Ren Richard, got on the mic to talk payouts, horses, the future, what it all looks like over there in the Old West world. So without further ado, let's get into their conversation and hear about all things Old West. Old West is redefining what's possible in the rope horse industry. From world-class heading, heeling, and breakaway fraternities to elite rope horse sales, Old West showcases exceptional horses, elite competition, and the future of the rope horse industry. With industry-leading payouts, exclusive sale graduate incentives, and a $1 million bonus opportunity, Old West is where legends are made and records are broken. Learn all about it at oldwest.com. Now let's get into the episode.
You won $186,000 on 5 different horses over the week. That was $75,000 more than the second highest guy. What does that feel like to you? Like, when you add all that money up, does it just feel like you had your best week ever? Does it feel like your whole system, your training system is working? Like, what is your, like, when you step back and look at that much money, what do you think about?
Well, I mean, I won quite a bit in the side pot stuff, so that obviously helped. But I think that it's probably in the best place it's been for me. Like, I've been able to be home consistently now for a couple of years, and like, you can just see those horses that, you know, I got to spend all that time on preparing them. They're just at that age now where we're showing them. So
yeah.
That feels good, you know, like the system we have that I've put my horses through, that, like, I like where they're at. They mm-hmm. feel confident. They're broke. You know, that's the thing, is when you don't put the consistent time on, like, getting them broke like a rope horse needs to be broke, it always shows up in the run, especially on a green horse. You know, when you're trying to mash and put things on them to try to get them ready, it don't work anymore. Like, it's tough enough now, and there's enough guys that are investing and doing the right things and riding the right kind of horses that, like, you're not gonna cover 3 months of crash course up that the other guy put a year into to get his horse ready.
Yeah. And they're all, like, I mean, at least 3 of them that you won money on came from your family's program too, like from your family's breeding program. Mm-hmm. Like, so what does that say about the combos that you're picking?
Well, I mean, it shows what those mares are going to throw a lot of time. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say generation, but we're a couple horses deep now out of certain mares that I can see them throwing certain qualities. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it, I'm not going to say it makes it easy, but it's a little more dependable on, you know, the things that I like a horse to do. Some of these mares that we have are throwing it, and, you know, vice versa. Some of the things that I don't like, some of these mares throw it that, you know, the next person might like. So it's just being able to get, I guess, further down the road in what our program has to offer, to where certain horses are being placed.
Mm-hmm. And I know that obviously James Bond did really well at the finals. And does Colton have him right now too? I thought I saw him at Reno.
Yeah. He ended up purchasing the horse now.
He did?
So.
Oh, yep. That's exciting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But these horses are bred differently than James Bond is. Like, where do you see these horses? I mean, we had Jubilant Version that went and rodeoed. These are Winners mm-hmm. versions. These are obviously relatives to Jubilant Version. But, like, where do you see them like being real horses in the future too?
I think every horse is a little different. So to be able to say like these horses are going to fit in this scenario, you know, like the little bay that I showed over there, the Gildan, he'd gotten sore this winter, so I couldn't, like, he's behind. And, like, he kind of showed that he was green towards the end. And I'm not going to say he come apart a little bit, but he just, he wasn't as far along as the others. But, like, that horse is straight run, but he is super similar to Bond. Like, on the ground, conformationally, they're similar. They're a little flatter made type horse, but super drivey and really good with their hips. Like, I can see that type of horse being, you know, you'll be able to ride that horse at the Thomas and Mack in 3-4 years. Like, he's that kind of horse. He's flat across the line. He's going to fit a lot of guys' style these days that, you know, they swing with a lot of tip speed. And, like, that horse is a quick-footed type horse. It's going to fit that style. And then you take a horse like Kenny's Brookstone. He's a six-year-old. You know, same type of deal, 15-3, but fast footed, wants to really use his butt. Like, I mean, I think you could put a top header on that horse right now and go rodeo. I mean, he's solid. He's almost so, he's so solid now that sometimes it's hard to show him because he's lost a little bit of that expression and, like, he's not green to things. So, far as him catching the judge's eyes on certain things, like, he might make the perfect run that I want a horse to make, and they might mark him pretty vanilla because it doesn't, it just looks easy. I mean, I don't know if that answers your question, but I feel like there is different horses in the program, but, like, they're all real. I mean, they're all going to be able to go get competed on at the highest level. They can all run. Whether I don't have one horse that's straight cowbred. They're either half or full run.
Well, what do you think? I mean, you sold James Bond. That was, but you still, do you guys still own the winner's version, the black winner's version mare that aged out? What's her name?
Yes. She's mischievous.
Are you keeping all the mares? I mean, James Bond was a gelding. Are you planning to keep all the mares? Like, is Sammy's Big Gal going to stay in the program to be a brood mare?
Yeah. The black mare, we Ixied her last year, and we got a colt on the ground now. She actually, she had an injury that year. I kind of rodeoed on her a little bit. I jackpotted on her some, and I don't know where she did it, but she injured a disc in her back and we didn't really know, but it just kind of started showing up, you know, she started doing things that she didn't do before. And so we'd actually give her like a year off. And then I helped on her over there at Heber the other day, and she felt outstanding.
Yeah, she
like
looked
she
great.
Used to. So, yeah, I mean, that scenario almost kind of worried me a little bit. Not worried me, but I'm like, man, I thought this mare was a little truer than what she was, and obviously it ended up being an injury. So
yeah, so do you think Sammy's Big Gal is one that, like, you're gonna keep around if you want to go rodeo, or is that one that would be for sale to one of the guys that wants to go, you know
rider at Cheyenne? I don't know if that mare, like, get just a little drawed up when you really holler. And she's not really like a high stress type horse. I don't really know what it is. I think just maturity will help her body, like, stay full. But, like, she's BFI, Reno. I mean, Cheyenne, obviously those. But, like, she's not just a long score type horse either. Like, she feels like you could ride her anywhere. I don't know if we'll do that now that she's got enough earnings. Like, we'll probably just let her raise babies here. I don't know exactly what she's got one now, but it's got to be close to 200,000.
Yeah. I have it somewhere, but yeah, it's got to be, she's certainly been impressive. So
she's like I think she's going to be a really cool cross with, horses like Third Edge and those horses that maybe a little flatter made, because she's so uphill that like it'll be fun to cross her with some of the cowbred stuff and see what it turns into.
Now tell me about Ray's version. That horse won 62,000. That was another big hit, and you almost won a million. Okay, well, yeah, I'm gonna, before you go that far, I want to ask you about that. Like, that short round, it would have been super cool to win $1 million. You rode out of the arena winning $1 million.
That little mare, I've liked her a lot from the start. Like, she's just super fast footed and real cool necked. Like, she really stays framed up in her neck. Wants to really score. Like, she turns around and she's super intense. Like, she's not hot, but she just, when she hits the corner, like, she feels like a freaking time bomb, but she scores so easy. Like, anybody can score. She scores light, real confident. She just has that look in her eyes like she wants to just crawl out of her skin. But she popped a splint right during Guthrie. And like, I haven't been able to ride her at all. Like, she's been pretty sore. And she was sore at the show in Heber. And she's just gritty enough to work through it. But it showed up a little bit in the short round. Like, the steer got heavy and she really needed to push off and be strong and come back. And like, you can slow motion the video and tell that like it was stinging her right there when she needed to really push.
Yeah, kind of dig in. Yeah, she was, yep.
But I mean, I don't, it's nothing. Like, we've had her at the vet. It's a small little fix, but I think she's the kind of mare that, anybody could go ride at the top level, and hopefully somebody rides her at the NFR one day, because she's kind of built for that. She's really on the ground and smokes across there and wants to be on her butt. Like, she'd be fun to ride in Thomas and Mack.
Do you think it was, I don't know how to ask this, like, was it a good thing that nobody won the million the first year and that you didn't win the million the first year? I mean, obviously you wish you had $1 million, but like, I mean it, I don't know. How do you, like, how did you think about the way it ended?
Well, the thing about it is, it's like you can run tons of different scenarios, and people are gonna talk, right? There's always gonna be somebody that says this or that, or it was, but like, at the end of the day, the best 4-year-olds in the world were there. It doesn't matter if Trevor's got 10 and I've got 15 head. Like, the best horses are there. So whether it's a sell incentive type horse or it's not, like, you still got to go beat the very best guys that are on the very best horses in the world.
And it was
So,
cool that like Robbie was second call and Andy was high call. Like those are not, they're not you and Trevor. Like for example, like it, not that those you two were the only two that were, you know, you, Trevor, Driggers, like the best, objectively best headers in the world at, you know, at the rodeo game or whatever. But like I thought personally, nobody cares about my opinion, but I thought it was cool and a good thing for the sport that
Yeah, I
Robbie
know. And
was second call and Andy was high call. Like those are horse
we've
trainers.
preached that the whole time. Like, listen, guys, don't we're not here to mark who's sitting in the saddle. Like, we want to see the best runs and the best horses. So whoever that is, like, there shouldn't ever be, anything awarded to any one of the top guys because of who they are. Like, we hope that the judges are confident enough to be able to judge the run and the horse, and that's just the way it should be.
How much of, like, how much prep work did y'all do with the judges before the event? Like, as far as conversations about what you wanted to see win the fraternity, like, as far as quality goes, or were, because it's not like we have a, I don't know, ARHFA, I think, had some, had judging standards, and y'all inherited that. Tell me about the, just the conversations that happened with the judges leading up
Well,
to the
like
event.
me personally, I had none because we obviously didn't want to have a conflict of interest. But you know, my dad and Jay and Reggie, like, I think as a group, at the end of the day, we want to see a horse that does things in the run that promote longevity. You know, we want to see a horse stand there and score with confidence. We want to see him run true to the cow. Control. We want control in the turn. I think everybody, you know, has their own opinion on what they want, but like most of the time, horses that have longevity do certain things when they hook onto the cow. You know, they're not flat. They shorten the stride and they hit their butt. Whether it's a little bit more of a show horse style or a jackpot style, like at the end of the day, we want the judges to be able to look at the run and tell if the rider had control of the horse. And then pulling, obviously keeping control of the steer's head, not turning the steer's head loose and facing, keeping the rope tight. So, you know, you take JD Yates and he goes and makes his best run on his best show horse, like we want that to be marked. We don't want it to just be, okay, he run up there and drug a hind leg, so we're not going to mark that because it looks like a horse show run. Like I think that the judges have a trained enough eye that they can tell the difference when one is maybe not listening to you, and that's what we don't want to promote. Like we want to see whoever it is go out there and have control their horse, building a foundation that works for somebody in the end. So as far as preaching that to the judges, and you know, we have like we don't want to see just super extreme things. We want to see a good foundation and one that's trained and one that's set up to be successful for whatever level that horse fits in the end.
Old West isn't just raising the bar, they're redefining what's possible in the rope horse industry. With more than 1.12 million paid out in Guthrie and over 1.37 million paid out in Heber City, Old West has quickly become one of the premier destinations for heading, heeling, and breakaway competition. Built on a bold vision to create world-class rope horse fraternities and elite horse sales, Old West brings together exceptional horses, top competition, breeders, owners, and buyers from all across the country. With record-setting horse sales, industry-leading payouts, exclusive sale graduate incentives, and a $1 million bonus opportunity, Old West is where legends are made and records are broken. Learn more about our fraternities and horse sales at oldwest.com.
And you had horses go from you riding them on the date, like in the qualifying rounds, to then going to the non-pro. Bobby rode his own horses in the non-pro, right, that you showed. How, I mean, speak to that. Was that a, oh gosh, is this going to be okay sort of situation? I'm not saying Bobby's not a hand. Bobby, if you're listening, I'm not saying you're not a hand, but like that's just a different ask for a horse. Tell me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those situations like if I'm first or second high call and they got to ride them after me, then we're probably not going to do it just because that's just not smart business. But like every horse I have, like I'm confident that somebody else can get on them and go ride them. Like there's nothing that, you know, I'm having to cover up or anything like that. Like, you know, Bobby, he won the Amarillo Non-Pro on that mare last year as a 4-year-old and then had it, you know, I'm not sure what he ended up winning over here in Heber on her, but like she's what I want out of our program. I mean, she's confident. She does every maneuver with confidence. Bobby's a he's a five header or five plus header, and I mean he went and just roped, and she was great for him.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a good testament to the program for sure. Okay, moving on to the sale. 4.37 million in real sales in 21 horses. I think I have that stat right. That's pretty crazy. Like, I don't know that that number's ever been done in Western performance as far as the amount. I mean, and that's without a $1.7 million single seller. And that's taking the $1 million horse out of it too. What do you make of the way, and that was, those were changing hands. Like those were horses that were, there was not smoke and mirrors with that.
Yeah.
4.37. What do you make of that?
Well, I think the thing that needs communicated to the public is like, look, every horse in the sale can be bought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some big time horses in there, whether it's a mare or a stud, that like they're bringing a lot of money because of what they could be worth after their show career. You know, like it's finally at a place now where, I mean, there was a mare that brought 900,000. Like, you know, what does it do when she has a mare bring a million in four mm-hmm. or 5 years? Like the investments, it's not stupid anymore. Like it makes sense to have a big time mare, a big time stud because of what the industry is doing. Mm-hmm. And that's not even counting the money that they get to go run at. That's mm-hmm. just after their show career. So I mean, I think there was a lot of buzz going around there for a while that you couldn't buy the horse, that everybody was buying their horses back. But like, I think everybody's starting to realize now that, you know, there was a lot of horses at Guthrie and here at Heber that changed hands. Like you said, somebody might buy one and send it back to me to train and show, or Trevor to train and show. But I mean, one of my best mares in Heber, she brings 300,000. I had no idea they were even on her, and Trevor has her in his barn now. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we want our sale to promote. Like, we want new customers coming into the industry that, you know, may not have a relationship with a top open guy, but they have a relationship with a really good intermediate or a limited rider. And, I mean, the best horse could go to a limited rider like a Robbie Boyce and have a chance to win 1.75 million just in bonuses next year. So mm-hmm. it's wild what these horses and exhibitors are going to have a chance to run at.
And I know I saw guys like Tyler Worley, who hasn't really been for charitying, and he's been to the last few now. I feel as if there are people who don't necessarily know what this is all about. Like, I don't know how to give them the 101. I feel like we've been talking lots of high level stuff, but there's so much 101 to this that people are still missing. Like, even rodeo guys are still, like, guys who we talk to every day are still missing mm-hmm. the whole ecosystem that is being created right now. And I don't know what the solution is, but I feel like it's still on. The bubble hasn't burst, and it's not necessarily a bubble that's going to burst. It's being supported. I don't know even if I'm asking a question on that, but I feel like there's a bottom swell of things, because a lot of these horses then can go to the Riata. They can go to the World Series. It's not just the futurity game. Like, Bobby Simmons is going to go to the finale. You know, like, that's just one example. JD McGuire will be at the finale and be entered in every division on an ex-futurity horse, or maybe a current futurity horse. Yeah, the industry is supporting itself and supporting these numbers as a whole, it seems like.
100%. Well, and the cool part about it is it's just like, I mean, me looking in my career, like, if I could have had this when I was young, you mm-hmm. know, starting in my rodeo career, if I could have had this to learn, and like, there's no telling what it would have done for multiple different guys out there. So like, it's not only a foundation for the horse, but like, it's teaching these guys to ride better, to like the business part of it. Like, it's almost one of those things where I would like to see it in time where there was like a trade school that went into the futurity system, and then guys kind of graduated to go on in rodeo. Like, mm-hmm. what would it do to the industry if it was grooming a guy to go be successful and then he's ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, big picture wise too, or I guess looking into the future, what can people expect from Fort Worth? What is going to change in Fort Worth? This will be the first Old West ARHFA World Championship. Any early insights into what people can expect?
Well, right now we're kind of in the middle of making some decisions on if we're even going to be able to make Fort Worth work. Like, we do have dates for Fort Worth, but mm-hmm. not in order to have the six and under class with the four and under and our sale, like there's just not enough time to do it there now. So we're in the middle of trying to figure out exactly what that's going to look like. But as far as high level, like it'll be just like Heber as far as the side pots. Actually, no, it'll be like Guthrie. It'll have 300,000 added across the four and under heading, healing, and breakaway. And then we'll raise as much money as we can to add to the main pots. There will be breakaway, but like I said, we're scattered a little bit now because we just don't have the time we need to do like our event, how it was in Heber. That's kind of how we want it, is a little longer, but finishing early in the days, being able to go out and have dinner with customers and kind of enjoying it. So we should have something put out here in the next couple weeks on exactly what it's going to look like. I mean, we will have an event, whether it's in Fort Worth or somewhere close by, that has a sale and the same thing that we've been doing.
And then for the next sale, I know just talking to people in the industry, are you going to offer anything different? I know I've talked to people who are going to take 2-year-olds because they feel like 2-year-olds at the fall is more of a 2-year-old time. Have you heard anything as far as what kind of horses are going to be in the sale in the fall sale?
I really haven't. I mean, I've talked to a few guys that have bought berths from guys that didn't have horses for it, that are, like Corey Cushing and Eric Dunn have one in. Corey's had a 3-year-old of ours that we're gonna put in. I think it'll be really good because people have had just a little more time to maybe prepare the horse. Like, I think in time, I see Fort Worth being the most prestigious, biggest show and sale. It's gonna take minimum a year to kind of get it all settled up.
What have you learned in the last 3 years of being an event producer?
That's a good question. It's a lot. You know what I mean? Anytime you're trying to produce something high end, like it just there's so many details that people don't see. I mean, the time, just the cattle situation, try to prepare the cattle the right way. Like it's a lot of work. And it just, I know people understand it, most especially in this industry. Like there's a lot of businessmen playing this game, and it's no different than any other high end business. Anytime you're trying to do something good and put a good team together, it's a lot of work behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure. And you can tell me we can't ask this question. That's fine. But this one that was owner retained for $1 million, what is his future looking like? Is he staying in your barn?
Yes.
Yes. Gotcha.
I
And
hope.
you
As far as I know, he is.
gotcha. Okay. And show career in front of him, breeding career in front of him. He's got
Yeah, I
all the
mean,
tools. He's
I would breed every mare we own to him today. Like, he's a good sucker.
Love
He's
that.
kind of got all the, as far as a sire, I mean, I guess every individual's probably got something you can pick apart about him, but he's got the black type. He's just everything that I try to train horses to do, like, he can do it naturally. He's real bendy, real slinky bodied on the ground, can really run, has a great mind. Yeah, if we can just have a little bit of luck, like to me, that is a big time head horse sire.
I love it. Yeah, no, I feel like that's the one that people are whispering about, not knowing the deal or not knowing where he's gonna go or what's gonna happen to him. So I'm glad you are gonna get to keep him.
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Is there anything else that you want me to make sure we cover, sir, before We should open the
I
border.
mean,
We should open the border and have
oh my
embryos.
gosh. If we could just open the border, like everybody would just, it would just be better.
It would be better.
We
We
could
should.
go do, we could make our pots bigger, like everything would just be bigger and better if it would open. But until then, it eats up a ton of capital that we could use to pay people and do things, you know. And it's gonna open someday, and when it does, it'll be great.
Yes, we will have Las Tunas cattle in every pen of cattle. It'll be all Las Tunas cattle, and it'll be wonderful. We
Yeah.
will.
Well, you won't ever have to go to a horse show again where the cattle are.
Yeah, we might. They might be 750 pounds by the time they get here, but we will have
We'll
them.
be horse showing like it's 1980 again.
Yes. I recorded a podcast that we never did get to use with Miguel, along to, and he said, "Look out, Hancocks and Driftwoods will be
Cinch up,
back."
boys. Yeah,
Yep.
that's funny.
Well, thank you, Ren. I appreciate it.
You bet. If you need anything, just give me a holler.
I will. Thank you. Bye.
See you, bye.
Alrighty, y'all, that does it for another episode of The Score. I hope everybody enjoyed Chels and Ren's conversation. I'm pretty sure those two could talk horses and where the industry's going for hours and hours, but they kept it at a reasonable length for you guys, so thank you to both of them for that. Again, if you haven't already checked out what Old West is doing, you are really missing out. They are putting world-class horsepower, world-class payouts, kind of all together in one place at their events, and it's something I think everybody would be lucky to be a part of. So again, if you haven't checked them out, oldwest.com, see what they're doing, check out our socials from the event. They were crazy. So always, always, always be sure to pay attention to what Old West is doing, because they are driving the bus on where this part of the industry is headed. So thanks again for listening, and we will catch you down the road.